All right, Patrick, you're a country music guy. Did you think about sticking around for Cole Swindell last night at Target Field?
Well, I was in Wilmer, so I was driving home. No, but I never heard of the guy. But I'm not a modern country guy. I'm an old country guy. You know where you threw the wife down in Miller's Cave because she was having an affair with a bear, and all that kind of stuff. You know where. A little more violent resolution of marital disputes and stuff like that. You know, that was, I'm an old country guy. I never heard of this guy, but my son was here and they got Cole Swindell. I, too bad I'm not sticking around to go see him. So apparently I guess he was bigger a few years ago, but he's still fairly big.
He's still pretty big. He kind of launched in the scene about 8 years ago. In the country music scene, but he played for about an hour, playing the hits. He covered a couple songs. He did a good job.
And he's not Greg Swindell's son.
No,
is he your cousin? Is he related to Greg Swindell?
He is not.
I wonder if Greg Swindell ever pitched in front of that bigger crowd. Probably did at the Dome, huh? Probably did.
I'm going to guess. Maybe in here. San Francisco, but
what years was he here? What years was he?
Oh, I think it wasn't he
late
like
90s?
Late 90s, like 98 or something.
Yep. Glorious.
He wasn't bad. He's an odd duck, though, man. He was, my mother would say, he's an odd duck. He was a strange fella, but he was okay. Left hander. He was.
Marched to his own beat, Pat?
Yeah, 1997 and 1998. Not very many people.
The answer is no. Yeah.
Although he did pitch, he was on the 2001 Diamondbacks. He was in the 2001 Diamondbacks
really?
Bullpen.
That's right. Yes, I remember talking to him during that World Series. Yeah. Huh. Now that you bring it up.
Yeah, right. So, Declan, how many fans were left at the end of the Cole Swindell concert? Because it's you weren't allowed to come in unless you had a ticket to the game, right? So,
correct.
Okay.
And then they put people on the infield, actually, is what they did. So typically the concerts, are in like the deep left center outfield portion of Target Field. So Cole Swindell's stage was just on the edge in front of the second base bag in the outfield. And then
that's going to cost the Twins a couple runs at some point.
Easily, right?
Ground being chewed up.
Yeah. And then they had a fenced out throughout the entire infield. So fans were allowed to be on the infield watching him. I would guess probably half the crowd did probably leave because it was a full crowd last night. But it was still a pretty decent size that was there.
They announced the sellout. So
yeah.
Biggest season.
39,000. So
it was packed.
Well, it is odd. I guess it's a reflection of 20 home games in August that they would have it on the night of a game that they got another game the next day, too. Because usually when they have these concerts, they put them during a road trip, But I suppose they wanted to draw people to the games, too. So anyway, it worked. They should have. They should be close to full tonight, right, with all the Winnipeggers in town and Barrios against Tyler Malley. How do we pronounce that?
Malley.
Malley. I mean, you can't get better than that for a pitching matchup in this town, right? You see our old friend Jose against the new guy. That's a nice coincidence. I love it.
Pat, the biggest cheer, and I'm not joking, before the game started last night, because of the concert, we will be serving beer. It will not be cut off in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
We will serve into the concert. They served all night. I would love to see the concession receipts for last night.
Well, you should see mine.
Canadians and country western fans, that's probably a pretty good beer drinking crowd, huh? Isn't that, that's pretty
oh,
good,
yeah.
Right?
A lot of cocktails consumed.
Do we push in a supply of Molsons when the Canadians come to town or something?
They must buy some Molson inventory
for
the weekend.
Yeah, this will be pretty good. Meanwhile, I think we've seen the last of the Duster, don't you?
You think he's going to get DFA'd?
I don't even know if it's if they can DFA him. Has he got any options left?
Well, no, DFA they would just. I'm saying you just cut him off the roster.
Yesterday, Jackie Bradley just got, boom, there was no DFA. It's just released. And I don't think he was ever DFA'd. But, yeah, I think he's done. I just think that they're going to keep Pagan over him because Pagan does have better stuff now. It's just he's an idiot. But, the pitching pattern is suck. But, okay. I threw that 98-yard mile-an-hour cutter, and they missed it twice. Now I'm going to fool them. Now I'm going to fool them, damn it, and see how far the guy can hit this one. But he's an idiot, but he's got better stuff than Duffy. And
scouting report, idiot.
Idiot.
Duffy just can't, you know, he can't throw it by him anymore. And when he throws that curveball, one out of every three sits there, and that's not workable. So,
Pat,
I love the guy. One of my all-time favorites. He's really a good guy, but I think it's over. I think they should go let him have a fresh start somewhere, don't you?
I was a couple beers in, and he was falling behind to every single pitcher, and I think he was 3-0 to Vlad Jr. before the Grand Salami, and me with four or five beers in, yelled, "Just go after him, Duffy!" And he went after him, and Vlad Guerrero took him about 30 feet deep.
Come on, throw it over the plate.
And yeah,
500
foul.
Feet.
I mean, he had about a 3-week period this year where he fooled them, but they can't use him. You know, I think it was one of those guys that come over from St. Paul, probably Brad Peacock, will probably be shot.
I saw your prediction.
But well, he's, you know, he was doing really well at Omaha and opted out, and now he's a, you know. There had to be a reason they brought him to St. Paul, right? That they figure that they're gonna take a look at him in the last 2 weeks, and then they'll try somebody else.
You know, it would be fitting though if last night was the last appearance for Tyler Duffy in a Twins uniform, a grand slam, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Jose Bautista, yes. On a 3-0 or 3-1 count, like the first or second year, yes. of Duffy's career in Toronto, and everyone watching knew, well, he's got to throw one over, and
his first start,
yeah.
Amazing stat. Provis last night was rattling off the stats of Duffy against this team. It's like 10 in the third innings, 20 runs or something like that. I mean, because they hammered him that first game that he ever pitched. We thought we'd never see him again, and they brought him back 2 weeks later, and he was their best pitcher down the stretch, 10 games that year when nobody knew, could figure out his curveball. But and he became a very good reliever, had about 2-3 good seasons, but it looks like it's over for me. And, I mean, Rocco made it clear after the game, the quotes I read this morning, that they're keeping Pagan. They see something there. So, I don't know. This was not a referendum on the new pitchers. this was a referendum on the reason they had to go with the new pitcher.
And that's the thing too. Yeah, two nights ago or the day game against Detroit, it was textbook. It was get five innings from your starter, run your three relievers out there, and maybe mix in a little lefty in Thielbar. And last night it was all the other guys.
Why did they decide all of a sudden out of the clear after not doing it to let Miguel pitch a second inning? John. But I mean, they always, it's 1-1-1.
I have no clue.
Right?
Yeah. I have absolutely no clue why. Yes. Yeah, that's ordinarily what they do, and they completely, I don't ever understand exactly what they're thinking pitching wise because it doesn't always track.
No, it doesn't. But this is that Toronto team, best hitting team in the baseball, and I think highest average. Yeah. They don't strike out that much either. They're, You know what I was thinking yesterday, though? I'm riding in, listening to the game last night. When a guy gets on first base now, right, and it's a one-run game, you never even contemplate the thought that they might steal second. Not only with us, with damn near every team. Not only with the Twins, but with damn near every team. The idea of sending the runner or hit and run, never had it. It doesn't even enter the thought process of baseball watchers anymore.
But it's worse with the Twins, I think, than any team.
Yeah.
In fact,
I think they have the least. Yeah.
They have the least attempts. The Twins have only attempted 31 stolen bases all year. The next team, I think, is 41. The Rockies. So, they're just. Station to station, wait for the big pop.
Now that Buxton never again will attempt to steal a base because of his injury history, I don't know who you would send. But it is interesting that, you know, for 50 years with the Twins, you listen to ball games and said, will he be moving on this pitch? And you still hear him some on the TV when Bremer and Smalley, will they send a runner? No. They won't. They don't. No. I got your answer. They're not going to do that.
And they're basically, these front offices are just doing the math of, okay, they have it all broken down that if you're going to steal bases, you have to do it at like an 80% success rate or better, or ultimately you're, in the long run, you're losing ground. But aren't there instances, maybe you're not looking to steal 200 bases in a full season anymore, but aren't there instances in one game, in this situation, with this guy on first and that pitcher, mm-hmm. that you could look to be more aggressive, and they're just not?
Yeah, last night I was thinking this is a perfect game, right? It's 1-0, 1-1. This is the game you try to steal a run, but they don't do that. And then of course, it became a mute point. So, it will be an interesting weekend. It is funny how we went from Wednesday. Okay, they beat Detroit, but oh boy, man, that new bullpen, and then and it's funny too, listening to Gladdy and Provis, that they were telling us how Emilio had, you know, he had a pretty good month. You know, he's throwing, looking good stuff, and then Gladdy has to say, "Uh oh, that one's going out of the ballpark." And then the route was on. So.
The gem last night, Pat, was Chapman, your guy at third base. He made about three plays look so simple that were so difficult.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, his ability to change games with his defense or fielding is special.
I told you 2 years ago, Rocco, I just happened to be, the office was empty, and I stuck my head in there. And they just got done playing Oakland, and he told me Chapman was the best fielder he had ever seen at any position in his baseball career. Unsolicited. I didn't even mention the guy because he just got done playing. His best fielder he'd ever seen at any position.
Yeah.
He's seen a few. He played 9 years and then all the other stuff, but. Yeah, he's something. Well, they got a club, man. They got a team. They managed to get Charlie Montoya fired when they can play a little stupid too. Apparently, Vlad made a great play at first base too, stretching.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how his hamstring survived. It looked like Harmon, and I think it was the 69 All-Star game. Stretch. It looked exactly like that stretch. Unfortunately, it didn't work out as well for Harmon as it did Vlad.
No, we don't. We never approved of Harmon trying to do anything fancy in the field. You know, just if it's hit right to you, catch it and throw it. Do you know that Harmon? You look it up. They played him in. I was saying the other day that Wednesday, Cave, I think, hit a ball right center near the corner, and a guy made a hell of a catch on it for Detroit, right? And I was saying, one of the biggest things about modern baseball is the outfielders are so damn good. They catch all the balls in the gaps and the thing. And I said, they had a year when they had Harmon. They had 2 years Harmon played left field. Basically, it was just, who cares? It's a corner outfield spot. We don't care. Let Harmon play. You know, the corner outfielders were your big galoots, and then you had a center fielder. And it's amazing how big the gaps used to be and how tiny they are now.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Harmon Killebrew and moving big galoots to corner outfield spots, how will you remember Miguel Sano's Twins career if this 60-day IL stint indeed ends it, Pat?
I don't think there's any doubt it ends it just because of their lack. And then we knew this was coming almost by the fact that the 60 days he was gone the first time, nobody mentioned him. They never talked about him as though he was, we're going to get Miguel back here. I didn't hear that, though. You know, I'm not there all the time, but I never heard him say, we're going to get Miguel back. And then they got him back, and how many at-bats? His last game, he was 3-for-3 on strikeouts. How many at-bats did he have, like 7 or 8?
Yeah, he played 2 games, yeah.
And all
he had, he had 2 in the first game, then he had, I think, was it 4 in the second game? So
yeah, his last game they played, he was 3-for-3 on strikeouts. But, I will remember him as a failed career because he was going to be a superstar, and he was not even about he had a few runs here, but he's been a monumental disappointment the last, what, since 17 was his All-Star year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was
He was on fire for half the season.
Yeah, he did. He joined the party in 19 when they hit all the home runs. He hit that, but yeah, he's a failure. For the build up he received, he's a monumental failure. One of the he goes down as a, first of all, anticipated athletes we've had coming to Minnesota in the 60 years since we've been a full service major league team. He's probably in the top 10 of anticipation of all the teams in town, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when you consider that and you take that top 10, he's probably as big a flop as we've ever had. Talking about guys who were failed number one draft choices or Paul Grant or guys like that. I mean, guys that we really couldn't wait to see. And then when you consider what we saw in 2015, felt that, hey, this is going to be the next Gillibrew. And he ended up being the next Rob Deere, only not as good an outfielder, right? Yeah. not as good a player. So yeah, I will remember him as a bust. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Who's in the top three, Pat, for the Twins then?
Oh man, I would have to.
Cause I mean, you've seen every season and there's been a few, but if he's in the top three, who are the other two? Who do you think?
I know we were breathless with anticipation for David McCarty. That didn't work out. Why aren't you calling up David McCarty? when he was hitting 400 in Portland or wherever the hell it was.
Yep.
That didn't quite work out. I guess I'd have to go back.
I'm trying to think of pitchers that were, I mean, there was some first
Willie
round guys.
Willie Banks was expected to Willie be Banks, good, but he never was, he never was. He was just a flop.
I've talked to one of Willie's old roommates, a local guy, former Gopher, a great guy, coached around town here. Willie had a concentration on baseball problem. It was not the driving force in his life. So that was Pat Mahomes.
Yep.
Pat Mahomes was going to be great, man. He was going to be great. And, and he certainly had the bloodline to do that. That's been proven, but he didn't have the concentration of his son. But I don't know if I could put him in the top three, but certainly that's a name that comes to mind very rapidly. So what's happening with our Vikes here? When are we gonna have the scrimmage for the fans to watch, like we used to have at Blakesley? Are they gonna have one of those?
No, they're going to have their now just traditional stadium practice Monday night.
Just a practice,
but it's just a practice. Yeah, are you kidding?
Not the big main event that used to fill.
No.
We don't do that anymore.
We are trying to keep guys healthy and rested as possible.
We're trying to keep some of the more important play concepts from being filmed by 6,000 fans. So
did I see that Kellen Mond has been running with the twos over Mannion, or is that alternate on a daily basis?
He's been given every opportunity to run with the twos as much as possible. The threes basically aren't practicing, so Mond and Mannion run with the twos. But they want Mond. They want Mond to win the job, and I'm going to tell you right now, Mond looks like he has very little chance of actually doing that.
Well, I know everybody was. I think we always want to get on the bandwagon of young quarterbacks here. Obviously, an incredible number of examples of that, Gino Toretti and all those guys. But, boy, I never saw us turn on a guy as quick as we did. This guy is the – everybody who went to practice said, he stinks, So that happened very quickly for a third-round draft choice. It was amazing.
Mike Zimmer was the first one to turn on last year.
Part of it.
Bring back Kyle, crazy. Man. Played for the Jag last night, right? Didn't Kyle Sloter get in the game?
How'd he do last night?
Yeah, we had Kyle.
I was at the ball game.
Did we hit the over on the 30 and a half there, Declan, last night?
Let me check. I was
the over, Pat, the over under for that Hall of Fame game last night was 30 and a half pregame.
Really?
Yes.
You know, was, I don't know if they got there. I do not know.
Yes, it did.
One, it before did. We sign off, the Angels, 7 home runs, and they still lose.
Oh,
2 by Ohtani.
7 solo home runs, and they get, you know, 7 home runs in a game, and they lose. What?
That is a great microcosm of the last 10 years of Angels baseball right there.
It's amazing. I saw that. And, I mean, there's stuff that happens in baseball that's unfathomable, and that's certainly one of them. Certainly one of them.
Yep.
I was out watching the Wilmer Stingers yesterday because home of Brooks Lee played there. And I talked to the kid yesterday on the phone. It's quite these Northwoods operations are, you know, the co-owners are out there cooking hamburgers and
oh, yeah,
bartending and making.
They got about 3 employees. The owner is one of them, and there's like a play-by-play guy who does everything else.
Yes, the PR kid. They got some kid from, I met him, and he's fired up, man, Gabriel something or other. But they dress in the parking lot out in the left field behind the fence before the crowds get in there. And it's, you know, Wilmer's the smallest town in the league. And but they've been going for 13 years and they get everybody involved. And all these, the key to success is all these families that take in a player, you know, and then they like adopt these kids. And Brooks Lee's family was a guy named Jay and Sherry Black. And, you know, the old man gives the guy a beater car, you know, the kid, when the kid comes, they let him have a beater car to drive around town in and do the stuff. And they're like watching their own kids when they, you know, and they take kids year after year, players year after year. It's a kind of a nice hokey operation. And I left after about 3 innings, ended up 21-14 because they start running out of pitching in August. You know, they send them pitchers and say, okay, he's pitched 75 innings already this year, so you can only use him for 40 innings. So these guys hit 40 innings at the end of July, and they can go back to Texas A&M or wherever.
Yeah.
And start looking up, scrounging up pitchers. So you get a little low on pitchers the last 2 weeks in August, apparently.
Offensive outburst late in the season.
Yes. Yeah. Some go for Brett Bateman had 6 hits in that game. I saw. I looked up, and that's probably more than the Gophers had in most of the games they played last year.
Cumulatively, they had 7 hits all season.
Yeah, right. Anyhow, that was okay. And then I got to listen to Provis and Gladdy tell me what a great game it was for about 3 innings.
and then preview Cole Swindell for the next 6.
Yeah, right. That's right. Cole Swindell.
Coming up next, we'll do mock set lists here in the 7th inning.
Cole wear tight jeans and show off his rear end, or isn't he that kind of guy?
The jeans were a little tight, not too tight.
Not too tight.
Cowboy boots.
He's a working man's country artist.
Okay.
The crowd, though, was incredibly attractive, Pat.
Oh, really?
Baseball does not ordinarily get an attractive crowd like they got last night.
You can't go wrong with young ladies wearing cowboy hats. It's you know, 100%, man, right there.
God bless them. They must like that genre of music.
Yeah, but it's not country. It's pop.
Yeah.
It's pop.
It's just poppy.
I don't know what he plays, but if I've never heard of him, it's pop.
It's not outlaw country if that's what you're looking for. Yeah, it's not Johnny Cash.
That's true. I stopped loving her today. You know that. Yeah. You know, George Jones.
Next week, the new Judd and Pat music podcast comes out.
Sunday Morning Sidewalk is one of the great songs of all time.
It's a drinking song. It's a recovering alcoholic.
Yep.
I used to play that one a lot. Sunday Morning Sidewalk. Fantastic. That's Christofferson's original, but of course Johnny made it.
Oh, it's great.
Christofferson's an amazing country artist because his voice has always sucked. He's terrible. He's terrible.
Well, look at Bob Dylan.
The songs are so good that, you know, that he got away with it.
So. The 60s did not mandate great voices. It was all about the writing.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, look at Dylan.
Yeah, that is true. He's still that's with us, thank stuff. God. Hang in there, Bobby. That's good. Joe and I, you know, once he was at a Twins game with his kid at the Metrodome, Dylan. And Joe and I followed him out of the press box. We wanted to see where the hell he went, where he parked so nobody could see him, you know, when he showed up. And he was over there somewhere behind the armory or something, parked over there. We followed him and his kid out there just to see where the hell he was.
Stalking him through a dark parking lot.
Makes you a good reporter right there, man.
Nobody bothered him. Nobody hardly even noticed him, a baseball crowd. You know, he slinked out and took off and was, you know, headed for the farm out in Lester Prairie or wherever it was. All right, gents, have a good weekend.
All right, Pat, we'll talk to you next week.
We'll see you tonight. Hell of a ball game. They should have a good crowd. Right.
Let's get it. Jose Berríos. Show him what's up. Show him why he didn't get that contract extension here.
Yes.
All right, gents. All right, that's wrapping with Racy here. Love listening to Judd and Pat.
Just yeah, talk music.
He sang. We got Royce. Scene. We have never before. I don't believe I've ever heard Patrick sing before.
It's happened a few times on the radio, but definitely the first time it's happened on our podcast. Yeah. So that Patrick Royce musical set was presented by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. They've been around for over 100 years, helping businesses with risk management tools, resources, maximizing those businesses' level of success. Find out more at federatedinsurance.com, where it's our business to protect yours.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.